I'd like to ask you a question as we begin this lesson. Do you speak with God every day? In Luke chapter 11, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 11, we find what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, when in reality it is recorded there as a pattern or a sample prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus used as a teaching tool to inform his disciples how they might pray. And the text actually says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. So there's his prayer. But when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And then he provides them with that pattern, that sample. You know, Jesus' closest disciples were used to having the Lord constantly at their side. And yet, one morning the disciples wake up and he's not there. When they finally do find Jesus, they say, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus, we know, was very diligent about how he spent his time. He didn't waste any moment. Everything he did was with purpose, and that purpose was to carry out the will of his Father in heaven. He knew that the time he had here was limited, was very precious. And if Jesus came to this earth to spend time as a man among men, what would prompt him to go away by himself? Well, the text in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, tells us this. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. It's with this example, this supreme example in mind, that I ask you today, do you speak with God every day? The first thing I'd like to bring to your mind is this, that Jesus was a praying man. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 5, I want you to understand that what we're going to talk about today is not any new information. But I want to remind you of some things that perhaps you've forgotten, or perhaps that you just haven't been applying lately. And I say that because there's a lot that I've heard and that I've seen among our brethren lately that indicates to me that we would do well to increase our prayer life, to improve our prayer life through active engagement in this behavior of speaking with God every day. And so let's begin by thinking about the fact that Jesus was a praying man. Now, I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 5, but I'm going to refer back to our text we read a moment ago in Mark chapter 1. You see, that particular day in Jesus' life didn't seem to be any more unusual or active than any other day during his public work as a preacher of the gospel and as Savior of the world. According to Mark chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, the day was to be spent in the nearby towns preaching and working miracles. And all of this was to demonstrate to mankind that he is, in fact, the Son of God, with power. And it seems that this was, in fact, a typical day for the Lord. Now, Luke provides us with information that would be helpful to us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, where I've asked you to turn, it says of Jesus, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Jesus often went out to find a quiet place away from other people in order to speak with his Father in prayer. Now, Mark does an excellent job of highlighting the importance that prayer played in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus faced every crisis and major event in his life with prayer. Now, no doubt, the 40-day period of fasting in the wilderness was also a time of communication with his Father. And this would be especially true as the time drew near for him to face the devil and temptation. And that's recorded for us in Luke chapter 4. Prior to the apostles being selected as Jesus' personal ambassadors to the world, Jesus went off to the mountain by himself and prayed the whole night. That's recorded for us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Jesus was praying upon a mountain when he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through verse 36. And it was with great agony and extreme intensity that Jesus prayed through the late evening as he anticipated his betrayal, and the events that would lead him to the cross. We find that recorded for us in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through verse 47. And then, of course, finally, on the cross, during his last hours in the body before his death, we find Jesus praying to his Father. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the first part of that verse said, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And then in verse 46, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. The last thing Jesus did was to pray to his Father. Jesus was a praying man, and we should be a praying people. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we're instructed to be devoted to prayer. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, the scripture says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." The English Standard renders this as, "Be constant in prayer." When we're admonished to be devoted to prayer, we're really being encouraged to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if the perfect, sinless Son of God was in constant communication with his Father, how much more do we, who are imperfect, frail, and dependent disciples, need to be praying people? We need to communicate with our Father each and every day. If Jesus needed to spend time each day in a quiet place, speaking to his Father in order to defeat temptation and do his Father's will, to carry out the work that he was given, then shouldn't we, as his disciples, do the same? Can we say that we can make it through this life without communication to our Father? No, we can't. We need to be devoted to prayer. We need to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it's just put that simply, pray without ceasing. I'm not sure that I would say Paul is exaggerating here. He's not saying, though, that we should be praying every second of every waking moment. That's just not possible. But we want to make sure that we understand this, and this is not new to those of you who have heard me preach. We need to understand, though, that a prayerful attitude alone doesn't accomplish much. We need to have more than just a prayerful attitude. We need to have a prayerful attitude that moves us to communicate to our God from our hearts often. Paul is encouraging us in the Thessalonian letter here, really instructing us to engage in the act of prayer as often as is possible. And I know that there are times in my life when I could and should be praying, but I've chosen to worry, or to be anxious, or to fret, or to allow my emotions to get the best of me. Those would be perfect times for me to get on my knees, either actually or figuratively, bow my head, and humbly pray to my Father. Now, as with all Scripture, knowing what the text means is one thing, but putting it into practice is sometimes another. We need to be a people who are devoted to prayer, who pray without ceasing. But what if we cease to pray? What if we stop being devoted to prayer? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot in this world that can distract us from doing what we know we should be doing each and every day. And everyday life, the busyness of life, the constant stream of news that we allow into our hearts and minds can become such a bother, a grind, that it finally just lulls us into complacency or can just wear us out. Well, regarding our mission as Christians to reach the lost and to uphold the weak and to grow the body of Christ through discipleship, sometimes we lose our sense of urgency because the world's focus becomes our focus. And the spiritual then is neglected for the material. The here and the now is exalted above the hereafter in our minds and in our lives. That happens if we cease to pray to God. And it's at those times when the busyness of life and the distractions of life have just overtaken us that prayer may seem to be optional, and then it just becomes insignificant in our thinking. In fact, too many times we schedule our lives out to the nth degree for everything but prayer. Have you communicated? Have you spoke with God today? You see, what we fail to realize is this. It's in those busy times, in those times in which our minds are distracted or fractured, that we are at our weakest spiritually. And that's just what the devil wants, and that's just when the devil will do all that he can to get us to fail. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Without prayer in your life, you'll likely forfeit your victory over temptation. You'll give in to the wants and the desires of the flesh. And your spiritual growth? Well, it's going to be hindered or hurt. And failure to pray will eventually hinder righteousness. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, we're told that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I ask you this question. Are you righteous? If you are, but you're not actively, fervently praying, then you're not doing all that you could be doing for the cause of Christ, for His church, for your spiritual well-being, for your family, and for this world that is lost and dying. You see, prayer is what growing Christians and growing churches do. It's a part of our very being. It's what we do every day. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, of the church in Jerusalem, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Are we, as a people, people of God, continuing steadfastly in prayer? I'm persuaded that we just don't understand prayer like God does, and He's trying through His Word to bring us along, to educate us and instruct us to understand it better. But you know, even at the greatest understanding that we could possibly have, we still don't have a full grasp of prayer like God does. And so we just need to listen to God and trust God that when He says we pray without ceasing, that we be devoted to prayer, that's what's best for us. And that in doing so, we are working out His will, and He will bless us for that. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 12 for just a moment. In Acts chapter 12, I'd like to look at an occasion in which prayer was answered in a way that was absolutely amazing. And it amazed those who were offering the prayers. Now, to be sure, this was a very unique circumstance. There are certainly differences in what happened in the first century and what happens today. God interacted with mankind during that pivotal time in which He established His church and the way He does today. But I believe the point is still the same. We don't understand prayer like God does, but He's given us His Word so that we might better understand prayer and be a people who speak with God every day. Now, let's read the text in Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. In Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "About that time Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to the four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." There we see God's people praying to God. And verse 6 continues, "Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and sentries before the door, were guarding in the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, 'Get up quickly.' The chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them of its own accord. They went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Now think about what we just witnessed through the scriptures there. God's people trusted God enough to pray to him fervently. But they were surprised and amazed at how God worked in answering that prayer. Now, we don't often understand how or when or why God will answer prayer the way he does. That's certainly his decision and choices to make. But I'm convinced that we just don't understand prayer like God does. And if he says we need to be devoted to prayer and to pray without ceasing, then we should be a praying people. Now let's talk for just a minute about what prayer is and isn't. We're going to begin with what prayer isn't first. I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The first thing is, prayer is not a person speaking to other people. Are other people around? Sometimes. Do other people hear the prayer? Sometimes. But prayer is not a person communicating or speaking to other people. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Jesus instructs his disciples, instructs us about prayer. He says in verse 5, beginning, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Prayer is a person speaking with God. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But prayer is not ritualistic or formulaic. It's not some magic formula or a pattern of words that we just repeat over and over. In fact, look in the same text we're at, Matthew chapter 6, now in verse 7 and verse 8. Jesus said, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." So prayer is not a person speaking to other people. It's not to be ritualistic or formulaic. And prayer isn't intended to be difficult. Look at verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9, beginning, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." But prayer is, as I've already said, and as you already know, speaking with God, a person speaking with his God. And prayer can be done at any moment, no matter how urgent other things may seem. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we find a man who was serving his king in Babylon, but who was distracted with thoughts of home and of God and of God's people. And the king asked him in verse 4, "What do you request?" What a wonderful opportunity for that man to share his feelings and his thoughts with this king. But instead, the text tells us, Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. Once he's finished, then, in the rest of that chapter, we see him addressing the king upon the throne of the earth. But first, before all else, in that very moment when a king was speaking to him, Nehemiah went to the King of Kings. He went to the God in heaven who cares for him, who loves him, and who would be able to help him above all else. And I'm convinced that if you read through the rest of that book, you'll see that God was with Nehemiah throughout, and it's because Nehemiah was with God. So prayer can be done at any moment, no matter how urgent other things may seem. It's a person speaking with God. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and think about the fact that prayer is praising God, thanking God, and honoring God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Hebrews writer by inspiration writes, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So it's about praise, gratitude, and honor to God. But it's also an invitation and an opportunity to tell God about our worries and our hardships and our heartbreaks, the difficulties we're facing, the difficulties we're feeling overwhelmed with. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. The Apostle Peter gives us this instruction, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, isn't that a wonderful thought? To think about the fact that God cares for us so much that he wants us to tell him our very innermost thoughts and concerns. To be able to share with him the things that are worrying us, causing us to be anxious. And he doesn't just say, share them by talking about them. He said, cast your care upon him. That is, there is a reliance upon God. There is a dependence upon God to help us, to see us through this difficulty. Those things that are worrying us and are causing us to be anxious, we don't have to be any longer. Furthermore, prayer is confessing your sins and asking his forgiveness. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter tells Simon, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." You see, repentance was a part of God's pardon for Simon, a child of God. But repentance alone was not sufficient. He had to pray. And how natural it is for a child of God to look to God and to communicate, to speak with God when we've sinned. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the apostle gives us this encouragement and instruction, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that. And we're told the prayer is to be for our enemies, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. And prayer is about asking for opportunity, and in particular, opportunity to present the gospel through godly living and through doing the work that's given to us by God. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, asking, "Pray also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." That's something that we should be praying to God for every day. Pray for me, that I might have opportunity, take opportunity, and carry out the opportunity to share the gospel with others. Pray for your brethren who are full-time evangelists or even part-time evangelists who are out there doing the work. Pray for your brethren who are on the job and who are talking to their coworker and to their boss or to their employee about the good news of salvation. Pray that you would have the opportunity, that doors might be opened, that you would be able to invite someone to study about Christ and to have opportunity to share with them the good news of salvation. See, prayer is a person speaking with God. Speaking with God about these very important things, these life matters, about daily discipleship, about difficulties. My encouragement to you is this. Speak often to the one who above all else cares about you and can assist you in this daily life, today and every day. He's been there for you all along. Won't you talk to him? Follow Jesus' example. Find a quiet place where you can be alone with God. Make it a priority in your life to seek intimacy with the living God today. Someone has said prayer, or the lack of it, will make or break the child of God. We know that, don't we? From personal experience and from the experience of others. Prayer is truly a spiritual blessing that belongs to the righteous. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, if you're not yet in Christ, but you'd like to be, because you want to be able to enjoy and appreciate a relationship with God and all of those spiritual blessings that He provides for His child, then you need to be in Christ. And how do you get into Christ? Well, you come into Christ through obedience to the gospel. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so if you have need of obeying the gospel and repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ today, then please let us know that so that we might make that possible. I thank you so much for listening to the lesson today. I hope it's been a help to you and an encouragement to you, that you are, in fact, praying to God every day, but that if you're not, you'll make the determination now to do so. We've come to the end of another lesson, and I'd like to invite each and every one of you to study the book of Proverbs with us in our Wednesday night Bible study. This coming Wednesday evening, November 11th, 2020, the congregation has decided to open up the building once again for Wednesday evening Bible study. Any who feel that they can come out safely and that are healthy so that they might participate in that Bible study are welcome to come and participate at 7:30 p.m. We'll be studying the book of Proverbs. We're also going to make opportunity available for anyone who does not feel healthy or is unable to join us in person because of the virus to join us on Zoom. We'll have a camera set up, hopefully, to record the class that's being conducted in the auditorium on the book of Proverbs for any who would like to participate through Zoom. It will be a little different. We're going to have to work out some of the technical difficulties, but I would ask that everyone who is interested in participating on Zoom Wednesday evening for our study of the Proverbs to please join the meeting by 7:25 p.m. I'll have to allow entry for all who join us, but then coming up at that time in which our class begins, we'll have to give our attention to the text and to the study of God's Word. So if you want to join us in person, please do. We start the class at 7:30. If you have an interest or a need to join us on Zoom, please do, but be in the class at 7:25 p.m. I thank you so much and look forward to seeing you and to participating with you in a study of God's Word again.